Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Shelley Tomlinson is an award-winning author of all kinds of books. She's a popular blogger, a speaker. She's radio host of All Things Southern Live. She lives in Louisiana. And today we're going to be talking to her about her book, Heart Wide Open, Trading Mundane Faith for an Exuberant Life with Jesus. Shelley, welcome to Life Quest.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Shelley, why did you write this book at this time?
Oh, mercy. This is what I call my heart on a page, Dwight. I've been so looking forward to writing this book, wanting to write it really for just the widest range out there. This book is for people who already know God and, you know, want to be closer to Him. And it's for people who have never felt like they could do the faith thing, didn't think they could follow Jesus, to make them hungry and realize that they can find Him for themselves as well. So it's for everyone out there, and it's basically just my faith journey. Stand on my shoulders and get there faster. You know, use my mistakes and find the sweetness of His fellowship faster. You don't have to go round and round the mountain like I did.
Well, most Christians, most of us who grew up in the Christian faith of one kind or another, we hear a lot of phrases and a lot of cliches even, but you're right. We don't always translate that into day-to-day living.
Oh, we don't. You know, I had every reason to know the Lord intimately. I was raised, I had a grandfather who was a Southern Baptist preacher who was like my hero, you know, traveled with him. And
sure.
I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a deacon, still is. Mom raised on the watching her play the piano, you know, every service,
right.
And they lived it at home. So I had every reason, but it was years and years. I was a young married mother of two, my children entering their preteen years when I finally got honest enough to say to the Lord, you know, look, something's missing. I believed in God. I'd been a believer my whole life. I believe in you. I know you're there. I know the scriptures. I know the story, but something is wrong here because I don't love you like I should. I'm not passionate about you. And what is that, and what can we do to fix it? And so a lot of those answers are found in Heart Wide Open.
Well, in the very first chapter, when all you can bring Him is a broken want to, and you kind of subtitle that chapter saying, Jesus, I know I don't love you like I should, but I want to love you. And it reminds me of that incident in the scripture where the man says, I have faith, help me with my unbelief.
Absolutely. The same thing. That's what that's about. I tell audiences everywhere that the very best place to begin, if you are not passionate for Christ, and you want a passionate relationship with Jesus, the very first place, the best place is to just say, I mean, you know, He knows it anyway. So, but the best place is to say, I do not love you like I should, but I want to. And then I phrased it that way that you allude to in the title of that chapter, because many times we don't really even want to love Him, but we want to love Him.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So that's the place to start, and it's an ongoing adventure from there.
What do you think interferes with that development in many of us who grew up in the church?
For one thing, I would say that the problem or what would interfere with that type of passionate life is just being encouraged to pursue it, for one thing, because, you know, we're encouraged to believe in God and to try to obey God and to do, you know, all these things that the church teaches us, but it's not as prevalent that we are encouraged to seek the very God of the universe personally and to expect Him to talk to you, you know, to expect to have that type of vibrant relationship with Him that we kind of relegate to people like Oswald Chambers and C.S. Lewis and,
right.
you know, Billy Graham, and they have these intimate walks with the Lord, but then the rest of us just follow Him blindly, you know, and we do follow Him. I mean, the walk of faith is a walk of faith, but the fellowship is what makes it, that's what distinguishes us from false religions and from anything else on this planet is that our God lives, and he wants to be a part of our daily get up, get down, go in, go out lives. And we're not always encouraged to look for him that way. And I want to change that.
You know, you mentioned a number of, well-known Christians, either preachers or authors, and we hear about Mother Teresa and those who have given up so much to totally dedicate their lives. But that is scary, as you talk about in Chapter 2, because we don't know what that means. You know, for some it may mean giving up maybe a friend, maybe giving up a job and heading in a different direction, or even having some financial sacrifices. So how do we know what the Lord wants us to do as individuals?
Every answer, every question and every answer throughout the book, you'll find that they all continue to go back to that honesty with the Lord of, you know, because we can say to him, you know, I'm scared to go all in because I don't know what all in looks like. You know, I kind of like this pew warming Christianity, because what are you going to ask of me? You know, what am I going to have to do? I just Twittered this morning and I said, you know, we settle for our default faith of going to church to please him and living our lives to please us.
Yeah.
And we do that because we're scared of letting him be the big I am, because what are you going to require of me? And the answer always goes back to taking that to him. Jesus said in John 14, when he was trying to calm those quaking disciples of his that I identify with, I resemble them. And he was, his word to them, telling them, you know, you believe in God, believe also in me. And what he was saying was, you believe in a God out there, believe that I came to be right here, and that I'm not asking you to take up on some mission that you'll never see me again. I am right here through the power of the resurrection and his spirit coming back to live with us. He's saying, I'm right here, and I'm going to walk this out with you. You're not signing on a dotted line never to hear from me again until you get to heaven. So he doesn't take us from A to Z would be a big answer for me, you know, for our listening audience. He says, sign on and walk with me. And as he requires whatever he requires, he is there to empower you for that choice.
Now, as we think about, and some of our listeners are hearing you, and they're getting the idea, yeah, I want that too. That probably means more prayer. It probably means more reading of the Bible. But there are going to be a number of people that say two things now, Shelley. One is, you know, I read the Bible because I'm supposed to. And when I pray, it sounds like I'm talking to Santa Claus with all my wants. So how do we make those things heartfelt and real?
Oh, I would beg them to buy Heart Wide Open, not because it's my book. I would beg them to read the chapters, like the chapter on Bible reading where I say, you know, the title of that, you know, it's always me being very honest with the Lord, and it comes from the years that I said to him, okay, here's the thing, you know, people are telling me I can know you through your word, but I don't like to read it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We have a problem, you know, help me here. And I laughingly titled that, I suppose, Cliff Notes Are Out, because I used to use these things called Cliff Notes, so you didn't have to read the whole classic. And the answer, again, I found, is going to the Bible as my source instead of something I was checking off for many years. I drilled through my daily Bible reading. Mm-hmm. You know, they were torture for me. I know God was saying, I'm not really enjoying this any more than you are, because we were both being tortured by the process. But, Dwight, I was going to the Word. I like to use little sayings because people can remember them.
Right.
And when I learned to go to the Bible for feeding instead of going to it for a daily Bible reading where I was checking it off for God, mm-hmm. When I got it through Shelley's thick skull that the Word was for me, you know, that God was going, you know, really, Shelley, I'm going to be okay if you don't read. I mean, he's pretty stable, Dwight. He's
right.
Going, I'm good. I'm going to be okay if you don't read. But when you get it turned around in your head and you have this paradigm shift where you realize that this is my food for my spirit, this is my life, and you go to it for a daily Bible feeding, and then you begin to say, you know, Lord, teach me. Even David, who we hold up in such high regard so often, David is like, I call him the schizophrenic shepherd boy king, because he would say in one phrase, I love your word. And then in the very next sentence, you hear David saying, turn my eyes from worthless things unto your word. And so it's an ongoing process for David, and it's an ongoing process for you and I to continually come to him and say, I am, you know, even now, even this morning, you heard me. You would have heard me if you were in prayer with me. And Father saying, thank you that you have taught me to love your word. I want to love it more tomorrow, because it's an ongoing. If he leaves me to myself, you know, I would read U.S. Weekly. I mean, but walking in that fellowship with him, he continues to open that word and give me a love for it.
Shelley, how have you learned and experienced to make your prayer life more than just a list of requests? You know, I find myself willing to instruct the Lord on how to solve my problems. And we find David did that too. He was always telling the Lord how to wipe out his enemies.
Yeah.
So, you know, and down deep, or maybe even not so deep, we understand that's really not right.
Right, yes. My prayer life has been another one of the comical going around the mountain things that I want people to learn from and be able to benefit from and not have to follow my steps, but just, you know, like, use cheater notes. You know, use my notes, and maybe they will help. But I have, when I began to understand that prayer, that I didn't want to walk in prayer and out of prayer. I didn't want to sit down and try to pray. When I began to get it through my head that the prayer is a communication with my Father, and I will sit down, and when I'm praying, I almost always when I'm about to finish praying, you know, I will tell the Lord, don't let me walk out of prayer. I've got to get up and go get dressed. You know, I've got to get up and go to this event. But I want to walk in prayer and in keeping that line of communication open. And if we can learn to not try to put God, find a place for the God of this great universe, you know, the huge God, the great I am, the one that holds our breath in his hand, if we can get out of our little bitty tiny human idea and understanding of giving this deity a time in our day, and instead trying to live our day in him, prayer takes on a different kind of focus, and you're in communication with him throughout the day, to where when I sit down for that more you know, dedicated prayer time or an intercession for someone, then I'm talking to my Father that I'm in touch with, in contact with, and talking to constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, okay, first I've got to run through this list of things.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do that when mom comes in for coffee. You know, we don't rehash everything and then start anew. We just pick up where we left off, right?
Exactly.
Hey, Mom, you want some coffee? And she sits down and, you know, we drink coffee. And our relationship and our prayer life can become that, where we're in, you know, we're in communication, we're fellowshipping with him throughout the day. And then when we have that wonderful block of time that I can sit down and talk to him, I'm already there. You know, we're already visiting. But that leads so, that goes hand in hand with realizing that my everything for him, my existence, my access to his throne, everything is through Christ and not through Shelley. Or we can get this weird, crazy thing going on where we think, you know, the Lord's not happy with me. I can't pray because I haven't prayed in X amount of days or X hours. Or, you know, I haven't read my Bible, so I can't pray. Or, you know, the Lord's blah, blah, blah. We get into all that craziness. I've been there too, folks. It's in the book. But we get through all that weirdness where it doesn't matter. It does not matter if I was praying all day long and reading my word all day long. You and I both know that's not what my access to the throne is. My access is through the sweet blood, the grace of Christ Jesus that paid for that that privilege, you know, that saved us, that reconciled us to God, that is, he was not and is not just our access to God when we become a believer. He is my continual access to God, whether I am reading or not, or I am praying or not, or but maybe you haven't done any of those really crazy things.
it sounds to me as if you're talking really about two things. One is finding or taking the time for, like would you you would with your mother. Let's just sit down and talk. But there's also this on through the daytime that seems to happen, because a lot of listeners are saying, I haven't got time to put away a half hour here.
Right.
I got the kids. I got
right.
whatever I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. I would tell them, take him what you have, you know, take him what you have, and you take him your sincerity of maybe rising early in the morning and saying, you know, I heard this silly girl from Louisiana talking about how her life got transformed into a passionate relationship with you, and I want that, and I want to start pursuing you. And if that person listening to me has 10 minutes tomorrow morning, 5 minutes to read one verse of Scripture and say, Lord, here I am. I didn't get a word of that. I didn't understand a bit of it, but I want to be in relationship with you, and I want to hear you, and maybe take that one verse and copy it down on a piece of paper, and, you know, maybe she's going to pull it out of dinner and look at it again, and maybe it's going to mean no more than it meant that morning.
Mm-hmm.
But what begins to happen is when we turn our pursuit from, I want to, like, you know, please God to make sure I can go to heaven, you know, or please God for this, or please God for you to hear my prayers, and when it turns from, you know, I want to know you, boy, he gets involved, because that's what he, that's the whole point of the whole deal, is he came to dwell with us. And so when we turn and our pursuit begins, you know, to, I really want to know you, I'm just going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming to you in prayer. I'm going to keep coming to you in your word until I find this for myself. There is an ironclad guarantee you will find him if you seek him.
And Shelley, it'll affect what we actually see in the Scripture. All of a sudden, those familiar stories mm-hmm. become, what does this tell us about what God's really like?
Mm-hmm. And those words begin to open up, and suddenly that word of God is talking to you. I tell audiences, talk back to the word. That's one of my, one of the things I learned to do that opened up my Bible study time and my fellowship with the Lord is to talk back to the word. You know, I'll read a scripture and say, what are you saying? And I'll just kind of sit there and look at it and say, are you saying something to me in this passage?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I always hear something, or I hear something 3 times out of 10. You know, there may be nothing, you know, resounding in my spirit as I'm reading that. But I have those words then in me. And because those words live, the Bible is not like any other book our listeners are going to pick up, that you and I are ever going to pick up. God's not some author that needs our needs good sales numbers. You know, so he's hoping
yes.
we buy the book and improve his sales numbers. His book lives and breathes because it is Christ. And so when we are determined to hear it that way and put those words in us, those words do begin to speak to us, like you said, in a new way, and they come alive.
I'm talking with Shelley Tomlinson. Her book is Heart Wide Open, Trading Mundane Faith for an Exuberant Life with Jesus. Shelley, tell our listeners about the back of the book, this Bible study and discussion guide.
Oh, yes, that's a lot of fun. There's going to be also, in addition to the Bible study and discussion guide, that I purposely, it's not in-depth. You may have noticed that, Dwight. It's not
yes.
an in-depth study. It's very light-hitting to just try to kind of break through that first initial place that some people might be, that we've kind of already alluded to, of I don't know how to study. You don't
mm-hmm.
know how to read. And I believe the Bible study guide will start there, you know, and kind of encourage people to just answer these questions and begin to see how they can interact with God's Word. And then in addition to that, in May, there will be a DVD series released of Heart Wide Open that ladies groups can get, and they can watch the DVDs, and there are 7 sessions that are 29 minutes long, and
mm-hmm.
that will come with a workbook that's, you know, that they can use to have prompt discussion, and I'm really excited about that and looking forward to it.
So you see this not only as something someone can personally use one-on-one, but also as a group thing, or with a couple of neighbors, a couple of friends?
Oh, yes, sir. I so hope so. I really feel like that a group of people can take this and do what we don't do so often as the body of Christ. Sometimes we come to church and we have all of our masks on correctly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And no one really knows that, you know, that you, hey, I can't really read and study, or I can't pray. It feels like my prayers are hitting the ceiling. And all these other people seem like they can. And I believe that Heart Wide Open, and the way that the Lord led me to write it, and I believe the way it's framed, that it can just kind of pull off all those masks, and, you know, a group of people can together begin to experience that fellowship and that communion that the Lord so desires.
Shelley, where across the country can our listeners who are listening here and overseas, where can they pick up a copy of your book?
Okay, you should be able to get Heart Wide Open in any of your bookstores, you know, definitely any of the major retailers are all carrying the book. And, of course, you can get it on Amazon, any of your indie stores that may be independent bookstores that may not be carrying it would be able to. If, you know, our listeners just walked in and asked for a copy of Heart Wide Open, they could order it, and I would greatly appreciate that. But in addition to being able to find it in any bookstore and in on the online retailers like Amazon and Barnes & Noble, you know, Goodreads, all those places, not Goodreads, that's a community, but Barnes & Noble and Christian Today has a bookstore. Any of those online bookstores will carry it. But they can also meet me if they would go to allthingssouthern.com, or they can look up Shelley Rushing Tomlinson or Heart Wide Open, and it will all trail them back to my little place on the web. They call me the Belle of All Things Southern here in Louisiana, and that's a whole funny story how I got that title, but I won't digress there. But they can find me at All Things Southern, and they can buy the book in my online store. If they do that, I will sign it to them if they write a note as they're checking out in the shopping cart of how they want it inscribed.
Sure.
And they can order it through me.
Heart Wide Open, Shelley Rushing Tomlinson. Shelley, thanks for being with us on Life Quest today.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I really appreciate your having me, and blessings on everything that you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to Life Quest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. Or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee 37930. I'm Dwight Lainhoff.